And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom because it's another edition of Tell Al Tuesday. I've asked Angela to join me. Now, Angela is a relatively new member of Lifestyles Unlimited, but she's taken the bull by the horns, and she is steering it through the China shop, and she's doing a really good job of it. She has bought some multifamily apartment community investments. She has bought some single-family investments, and she has a goal to increase the investment numbers. In other words, she has a certain number of investments now, and she wants to grow her investment portfolio. So, what else do we have to talk about with Angela? Well, we have a lot to talk about with Angela, because here's the thing. Angela is somebody that you ought to meet. No, I'm serious. She is somebody you ought to meet, and you're going to meet her on today's radio show. You're going to get to know her. You're going to understand who she is. And more importantly, you're going to find out why she decided to become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, because that's not a simple task. It's not. When you make a decision to join Lifestyles Unlimited, you've made that decision based off of certain events going on in your life. Maybe something isn't working out the way you expect it to work out. Maybe the path that you've chosen isn't working out the way it was supposed to work out. Maybe you just feel like you're just going along with the herd, and the herd's not getting you to where you're trying to get to. Well, whatever reason caused Angela to join Lifestyles Unlimited, she'll share it with you today, because we're going to get inside of Angela's head. Now, let me give you some background on this remarkable young lady. First of all, she's an electrical engineer by trade. Yeah, she's really smart, a lot smarter than the majority of you in the audience. Now, I'm not picking on you in the audience. I'm not calling you dumb. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just pointing out that this is somebody that went to college and tackled one of the most difficult curriculums available in the college world, and she earned her degree. She went on to work for some interesting companies. One of them happens to be Enron. Yeah, those of you that invested in the stock market back in the day, you know about Enron. So she's got some insider information on Enron. Maybe we'll talk about that. But more importantly, what we're really going to do is we're going to get into her story, because it's with her story that it's going to make a difference in your life. Yeah, she's going to share things that you didn't know. Seriously, she's going to do it. So let's welcome her now. And last time I saw you was at our Expo event. Do you recall meeting me at Expo?
Yes, for sure. It was fun.
And I recall meeting you, because you took the networking suggestions seriously. You wore a unicorn shirt, and as soon as I talked to you at the beginning of the show, before we even came on the radio, you told me that you had a unicorn shirt, and I immediately flashed to who you are. So the networking works. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, someone had said before I went to my first expo that you should do something to be unique, because they're seeing so many people, each of the leads for the different apartments and possible apartments deals. And so I had randomly grabbed this unicorn headband and put it on when I was there. And then I thought, oh, no, now I've sort of trapped myself into this theme. But I like it because as a unicorn investor, as I'm calling myself, you're small, right? I don't have tons of funds, but I think I'm a good investor. I follow up. I follow the rules. I, you know, will read the documents, respond as appropriate. So I think I'm worth it, even though I'm a small investor. And in fact, I'm wearing my T-shirt now to give myself inspiration for today.
Do you know what all big investors started off as?
Yeah, everyone starts small, but I will say I've even approached some that were looking for big investors, and they've been very welcoming and allowing my little investment. So, but yeah.
So how's the journey been so far? I guess we ought to start with when did you make the decision to become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited? How long have you been a member?
I joined in March 2021 but I didn't really take any action on the actual investments until like October of that year.
Yeah, you joined right in the middle of a pandemic, right?
That's correct. It was still high COVID times.
So what caused you to do that in the middle of a pandemic?
It's sort of strange. I have planned on doing, I had one plan when I was going to be old and decrepit, living out my old years in one manner, and something happened during it, which I won't get into because it's public, it's radio, but I will say that I thought I should do more and save more and have a better plan, better alternate plan. And how do you save more? And I've always wanted to get into real estate, but didn't really know how to go about it. And I found Lifestyles on the internet, doing some searching in the middle of the night, and found the free webinar. So I went to that, and then because I'm a nerd at heart, I calculated like the cost per hour of the trainings, and I thought that it was worth it, economical and worth the value. Doing that allowed me to calculate myself into the two-day weekend seminars, and because I paid the fee to go to that, I actually went to two at the same time. I did the two-day in person and then the one that's online four nights over 2 weeks. And I thought, wow, 32 hours of training for this price, even if I don't go further, it's still worth it. And, you know, just the cost of it and to see what it is I was missing and understanding how you can do more real estate in less time than I had originally thought.
You're highly educated. You have a electrical engineering degree, do you not?
Yes, I do.
And an MBA on top of it, so good on you. Why did you get all of those degrees? What was the purpose?
Well, you know, you're always trying to learn, right? And at the time, well, you're so young, you don't know what ends up, honestly, when you go into university sometimes. And I had a high school counselor that always thought I should be in business. In fact, I had to get special permission to take electronics in my high school. I was the first girl to take electronics in our high school. And the next year, there were five in that class. He really just detracted any achievements for women, I think. And so I went in as electrical engineering because I did the best in that section of physics. And so I thought, of course, that's what I'm going to do. But and every time I went home, he asked if I changed majors yet. And I think that gave me the will to to finish that degree. And then I think out of spite, I became an electrical engineer. And then I went into programming after. At the time, there weren't so many different programming degrees and stuff because it was the 90s. But I went into programming, moved down here, and ended up doing more programming and then became more into a business type of role, doing quotes and sales entry for a company that does electric power. So I'm back in that type of industry again. So yeah, that's how it got me. And then I decided, well, lots of people get MBAs. I should do that too. And that's what I did.
You know what I heard out of all of that? Trailblazer. That's what I heard. You're a trailblazer. You've gone to a place that nobody else had gone to. People didn't want you there, but you still went there and you obtained what you went there to get. And I think that's huge. I think that is a testament to your character. I think it's a testament to who you are as a person. And I think it's pretty awesome to know somebody that went through that part of their life and didn't quit. So you're not a quitter. You're a trailblazer. And to me, you're kind of a hero.
Sometimes there's times where you really should say, maybe I should give this one up. But I haven't learned that lesson yet.
So you're strong-willed too?
At times, yeah.
Okay.
When you need to be.
All right. Well, you know, I think all that makes for an outstanding real estate investor. What do you think?
Well, it gives you props, but I think there's still so much to learn, right? I think we can always learn more.
Ah, and there's the crux of where I want to go. Even though you're highly educated, even though you've got prestigious degrees from prestigious universities, even though you're a pioneer in your work field, you recognize that you had a shortcoming in your knowledge base. And you also recognized that you had a retirement problem. Is that true?
I don't know if it's a problem, but I felt nervous about it. I mean, I think saving wise and stuff, probably, you know, they always talk like a lot of people can't, don't have enough savings to pay for another tire for their car. So I'm beyond that, right? I'm not in that kind of way. But I just felt like if I had to retire, do I really have enough to retire? And so you just get nervous on yourself. But I think I know people who retired that don't have that much. And so am I willing just to throw it up like, oh, the government's going to take care of me? Or do I really need to do for myself? And I'm more of a you have to do for yourself kind of person. So I was out there looking like I need to figure out plan B in case plan A doesn't work out.
So what was it that Lifestyles Unlimited communicated to you that got your attention? What made you decide, okay, this is the entity I'm gonna get my education from? What caused it?
There were a couple of things. The first was the, I talked about before, the cost of the education, right? I think that just to get in for the cost of education, I thought was a fair value and amount charged. The big thing that I learned was about the hard money loan. That was huge because that was the thing that was keeping me from being able to financially afford the single family homes in a timely manner to actually make it grow. And that was a big turning point for me. The big black hole that I didn't know about, and I hadn't found a way to learn about it.
So you mentioned hard money loans. Now, a lot of people don't understand that they exist. And those that do understand that they exist don't know how to use them correctly. Now, prior to you being a Lifestyles Unlimited member, had you ever even heard of hard money?
No, I hadn't heard of it at all. And even when I spoke to a friend who had many houses, many rental houses for many years, he had never mentioned it before because I actually did meet with him, with a friend, saying, hey, tell us how you did it. And he had really lived so frugally so he could basically put his whole salary to saving up and buying his houses. And I think he didn't know about these hard money loans and where you can actually not only get the help on buying the house, but including the rehab cost. Because I thought I'd have to save up for it to buy the house and then save up more for the rehab that would probably be needed.
Yeah, because conventional wisdom says you go and you pay retail for the property, you put 20% down, and then you come up with a giant bag of money to cover whatever rehab, and you do the rehab, and then you find yourself upside down, and then you got to be like your friend, and you got to live frugally because you're trying to support the investments. But when you buy the asset using hard money, it takes a lot of that sting out. It allows you to actually buy for less cents on the dollar. And you probably have this experience, but did you find that with the single family assets that you purchased that you spent the equivalent of 20% or more down?
No, I didn't spend 20% on them. I probably got close on a couple, but even so, that would be rehab on top and other charges. I think I still came out ahead.
So there's something to this hard money loan. You discovered what the secret is, and you're using that secret to advance your business, correct?
That's correct.
But it's not really a secret, is it? Because we all talk about it in Lifestyles Unlimited. I mean, you talk with your friends about hard money. I talk with my friends about hard money. We talk with our fellow members that are trying to learn about hard money. We share information about hard money because, as you've discovered, Angela, hard money is a combat multiplier for us soldiers in the trenches.
That's correct. It's not a secret, but somehow I had made it to this point in my life without ever hearing that phrase, hard money loan. And and the other thing that I really liked about Lifestyles when I was learning about it was that it was very conservative in its estimations and how it worked. Even when you're estimating things, estimating towards the low side, and not saying like, oh, if you get two houses, you're going to be a bazillionaire. No problem.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, when we come back from the break, more with Angela. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so because I've got Angela on the show. It's Tell Al Tuesday, and she is telling Al everything. She's telling me everything, and I love it. And I hope you're absorbing it, because she's dropping little nuggets of wisdom that you should be picking up. Because if you're not picking up those nuggets, you're missing out. You're totally missing out. So Angela, you went through the financial freedom seminar. You did it twice. Were you afraid that you missed something the first time, or what was your experience with attending it twice? Did you get additional information, or was it the same thing just repeated in a different format?
It was the same thing in a different format, but the reason I did it twice is, one, I wanted to get my money's worth. Two, I was thinking that some people say things differently, and it actually worked out that way. I thought that I had David Fisher for the 2 day in person, and he was very enthusiastic. He had so much detail, and it was so fast. And the other person, his name was Greg from Michigan, and he was more, I think he has an engineering background, and his PowerPoint presentation was really detailed and helped me better with some of the calculations that I wasn't absorbing as well in the 2 day. So doing them at the same time, like I really did like the first two sessions of the online, went to the 2 day in person, and then the last two sessions of the online. So it really, it helped me.
Wow. And you've got the experience of two different presenters with two different backgrounds, two different presentation styles, sharing the same information with you. Did you feel that you were ready after attending all of that training to get out in the trenches and actually buy some real estate?
Yes and no. I had to do the actual education, the video, online videos that needed to be done. And I was sort of willy-wallowing through that, because you have to be online to do it. You can't download it. And so I was making excuses for myself and not getting them done. The other thing that sort of stopped me is this whole finding your team. They're like, make your team, build your team, establish your team. And I thought, how do you do that? And they made it sound more personal than just like get to know some contacts, you know, so that way if you need an inspector, you know who to call. And it worked out really funny, because I felt like finding your team was like blind dates. You know, you're just randomly going to talk to people and, hey, do you want to be on my team? It just sounded sketchy.
Sounds like you're speed dating, huh?
It does. And that's not always a good history for me. So I just think, oh, I have to do this, and I don't want to do that. And I was going to a case study one night, and I was coming up in an elevator talking to someone who I didn't know, you know, so I was just meeting this person new in the elevator. He was going to the same place, and he was asking me, like, well, how are you getting going? And I said, oh, I have to find my team, and I'm having such a hard time, and again, with the dating and whatever. And he's like, oh, I'm a lender. I could be on your team. And I was like, oh, well, that didn't seem so bad. And so then it sort of changed my perspective of this whole making it seem like you're trying to find dates for life and commitments for life. It's really about knowing where some resources are and being ready that when you do go to look for a house, you have a lender already, or a few lenders, you know, a couple inspectors, and you know, some contractors, and you can call on them. And I did get a lot of help also from the realtor for the first house, right? She's introducing me to more. And the road trips for Lifestyles introduce you to more. So it's a good way to network and expand the people you know. And I don't really like to use the phrase my team. I know people, and I have business cards from other people that I trust, and I do use and will use again in the future.
So really, you discovered that building your team was just creating a relationship with somebody that has something that you don't have, that can bring something
Correct.
To the table that helps you accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. So why
Right.
was it so hard to get past that? Where was the psychological hiccup? Do you know? Do you care?
I think it's the feeling like you're dating, so trying to find dates. And I was just like, just calling someone up randomly like, hey, do you want to be on my team? To me, that just feels
weird. It does
weird.
Sound creepy. When you just said it that way, it sounded creepy. Like you creeped me out.
it did. It creeped me out, and I had a hard time getting past it. And then there was a guy who spoke at Case Study. He was a police officer, and he was really talking about how in 1 month, he had joined, did all the training, had a house, and it was already going to rehab. And he did all that in a month. I need to get cracking. And so he inspired me to get over that, finish my training, get my education, and start. And that's when I really started going to the road trips and got my house shortly after, my first house shortly after.
How important is it for you to integrate into the Lifestyles Unlimited community?
I think it depends on the person, honestly. For myself, I think it's important because I don't have a lot of other people to talk about this. But I think if you were already very experienced in real estate, then you're learning the, you know, tweaking your methods, but you already have a lot of other network that you've been working with. So maybe it doesn't matter as much. But I found I really like it. I am in a few of us women have met at Expo, and we keep in touch and keep each other motivated and, you know, just checking in with each other. And I think even to say, hey, are you going to Case Study? I'm going. Let's sit together, you know, and then we have you met this person or that person. It's just a really good way to find that community of encouragers who don't think that you're crazy for wanting to do this.
Yeah, I don't think you're crazy for wanting to do this. I think you're seeing the results firsthand of your efforts. Now, you're currently invested in, I love this on your bio, you said 5.5 houses. I think that means you've got five houses, but you have six doors. Is that correct?
Yes, because the sixth door, you could call it, is like a garage apartment behind the fifth house. The wholesaler was just selling the house. And when I met him there and we walked around to the back, I said, why is there a building here? An extra building, a big building. And he's like, I don't know. And it was an apartment. And
what?
So then I have my half. And that extra half being able to be rented out in addition is what saved the calculations for this house and made it worth it.
Oh, so you were considering walking away from that particular deal until you found out that there was additional rentable space?
Once I did the calculations on it, I still went to look, right? Because you don't really know the true inside of the house. What is it looking like? So I went down there to look at it, thinking it was a good deal. And then there were so many things on the rehab. But then once I saw this other building, and it added to the rehab because it was in some cases a little bit worse on the ceilings and stuff. But once you so my rehab costs went up a little bit, but in addition, I got this apartment that I can rent out for just under $600 a month.
So what are you cash flowing on that asset today?
Just over $600.
Man, that is awesome. If I recall correctly, in our pre-interview conversation, you had some additional effects affect that property that weren't a part of your original budget, correct?
That's correct. Quite a few things.
What things were they?
So I consider this house my most dramatic house. It had a lot going on.
Okay.
But one thing that we found in the initial inspection of the house is underneath all of the carpets were hard floors, hardwood floors. And I just think if you have a hardwood floor, why are you covering it in carpet? It's so beautiful. So I had looked for a vendor to fix it up. And the contractor had recommended one to me. And but I had locally found someone that was doing some cleaning for me, some yard work for me, and their brother or husband also was a construction guy, contractor, and they were like, we can do wood floors. And I thought, okay, they've been good at everything else they said they do. And it turned out that was not the case. I went to go check on it after it was done, and the floor was, I walked around in my socks, and it was snagging my socks. So I had them come to the house and walk around in their socks and see what they thought. And they said, well, it's done. And I said, don't you feel it's a little bit rough? It's catching my socks. Wood floors shouldn't do that. And they said, yeah, we thought it was a little bit rough, but they didn't go back to sand it more. They stained it and finished. And so I ended up having to bring in the guy my contractor recommended, who did a beautiful job, and even jokingly told me when I called him to compliment the photos he was sending me, he even just responded like, yeah, professional. So he even just dabbed me there, you know. But it's true. He was a professional about it. He did a very nice job. And my life lesson is that sometimes the best quote, the cheapest quote, is not your best quote. You really should go with someone else that has more experience, or even get more examples of their experience. They should have pictures of work they've done, and I should have done more investigation.
Well, I think that tip right there is going to help somebody in the listening audience, because I guarantee you somebody listening to the show is probably going through a similar situation, and the advice you just shared is going to help them. So good on you, Angela.
Well, thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about a company called Enron. Now, I know all about Enron because I used to invest in stocks, and Enron was the darling stock, and it could never fail, and it just went up and up and up until something bad happened. And you were working at Enron when something bad happened, correct?
That's correct. I had been at Enron for some years before then, and even some years after the bankruptcy. So I worked for the group that did gas control for the pipelines that Enron managed. And that department was never bankrupt, because we were actually doing a service and getting paid for that service. But a lot of the profits that came into that department went to other departments that were in the news with this bankruptcy. So it was a scary day. I went out to lunch with one of my coworkers, and when we were coming back to the office, the building would look like mass exodus, and they had done the big layoffs due to the big bankruptcy filing that they had done. And I think that was in 2001, and I was there until 2005.
So you got to experience corporate America from the inside. You got to see mass layoffs, even though you weren't personally affected by it. You were affected, because I'm guessing your workload went up like, what, ninefold? Because they got rid of everybody else that was doing all the other work, and you were left, so you had to do all the work?
Not exactly at first, because, like I said, my department wasn't really touched. But what happens is, as they start to liquidate the company, they sell off their assets, and their assets are these pipelines that they're operating. So they are getting sold to other companies. So my work didn't really increase until they started selling off the pipelines in my group, and then suddenly that person left, and you don't really, your workload doesn't increase because that whole pipeline went with that person, but you're more alone. And I think there's always that thing over you, like, is today the day it's going to happen for you?
So during that 4 years that you were at Enron after the bankruptcy occurred, were you ever concerned for your job? I mean, were you kind of there just hoping the axe wasn't going to fall on you?
I knew the axe was going to fall on me. It's just a matter of when. And anytime you're bringing a company together, you're going to have two people doing the same job. One of them has to go. So I was lucky in that I wasn't assigned to go to these other companies right at the beginning, so I had more time. But is that better? Because I was working like a dog. So I don't know if it was better or not to be later, but you were told, like, okay, your layoff is going to be in 3 months. And so it wasn't like it was like that day, like it was for the people who were laid off at the day of the bankruptcy.
So how did you finally leave Enron?
I was laid off.
Oh, so they finally got you.
Yeah, they got me, but I had always said that when I got a layoff, I was going to go on a big trip. And so you can't go on a big trip without your severance package. So I said I was going to wait it out till whenever that was. Because I also knew that, well, I didn't know it at the time, honestly, but I think I wouldn't have done well in an interview right away because you were so worn down. You've been with the company for a while. You're burnt out. And so I did leave and go on vacation to the Middle East and Europe for about 3 months and then came back. And then I was really reset, refreshed. You know, when you think of, oh, I have to go to work, you're not thinking that is that place all the time, right? Because you've been away from it now. It's not in your soul like it had been.
Speaking of traveling, now that you're a real estate investor, do you travel more than you used to?
No, I travel less. But it's not because of the real estate. It's just work in general. I have a lot of vacation. I don't always take it. But I haven't lost it, so I'm not upset. But and I'm a bit of a workaholic. I like what I do, so it doesn't seem like drudgery.
Ah, so you've already solved one of the problems that people that retire themselves with real estate have, which is, I'm now retired. Do I keep my job or do I leave? And always the answer to that is, do I love my job or do I hate my job? Well, you love your job, so you've already solved that problem, it sounds like. So the question I have for you, Angela, when you get to the point where your cash flow meets or exceeds your expenses of living, even though you love your job, will you keep it?
Probably. The reason I say that is I might back down. There's I have a lot of hats at the company. So one of them is really interesting to me and could be done part-time. So I might reduce my hours for a while. I think it depends what you decide to do with your retirement years. And I don't have a definite plan. Like some people like, I want to go live in the hill country. I'm okay in my house. I like my house that I'm living in. So I don't know that I would move somewhere specifically for that. And I think if you don't have a definite plan, it doesn't hurt to work a little bit or have a routine of sorts, because I think they say if you retire and you have nothing, well, what's motivating you? Why do you get up in the morning? Why do you plan your day? So I definitely like to have things going on.
Yeah, I think it's important in retirement to have some type of schedule, even if it's a whole lot of doing nothing, you at least plan to do a whole lot of nothing. And you enjoy it while you're doing it. And I think the same thing can be said of, you know, if you have a job that you enjoy, as long as you continue to enjoy that job, by all means, keep enjoying that job. But when the job stops being fun, what are you going to do?
Then I'll have to make it on my single family houses and my deals.
Ah, so in the meantime, you're building up that portfolio of assets. And I know you're a little cash poor right now. You're what we call real estate poor because you've deployed all of your capital. But when the real estate continues to pay you cash flow, when the real estate continues to pay you five different ways, are you really worried about what the real estate will do?
A little bit, only because I need more to make it really where you can live off of it. And two, I'm waiting for the house prices to come back up so I can sell some of my properties. So I can then buy new properties. So someone had said once, sell one, get two. And that stuck in my head. And I really want that to happen. It may not happen. But if I could get one and three quarters, I'd still be happy. So I'm looking to do that in the future, just waiting for it to come around again. And I can still keep the houses renting until then.
I think your future is bright, and I think you're going to get the solution you're looking for. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what Angela's doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on Start Here, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.